The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, kiddies. This is your Ghoulie, the Crypt Keeper, and you're listening to Slasher Radio.
Welcome to Slasher Radio with your host Mikey Bones, Kat Valor, and Rob Humphrey. What's going on, guys?
Not much.
What's up? I'm trying to think of something. I called you guys butt nuggets or something last week, and that was really funny. And I was trying to think of something else to call you, and I couldn't think of anything off the top of my head. Damn it.
Well, you could have said butt nuggets, because I don't think that's what it was last week.
It wasn't butt nuggets? Damn it.
Sure wasn't. That's the first time I've ever heard butt nuggets in my entire life.
Same. Oh,
let's restart the show.
No.
You butt nugget.
I hate you. All right. We're fresh off of Carrie 2, the Rage Carrie 2 that we did for a listener, Nicole. Mm-hmm. We just did that last week, so any Carrie fans, go back and listen to that. We missed Shark.
Did we get any follow-up from Nicole about the episode?
No, we did not. All so right. Hopefully we do, though.
In another 4 years.
Yeah, hopefully he's Nicole doesn't never listen to us again because we were mean to Carrie 2. Text message voicemail, though, Nicole. You just keep emailing, too. But yeah, we want to hear what you think and what you think about what we think and all that good stuff. But we do have a voicemail. Speaking of voicemails and text messages, we do have a text message this week that will be read by Ghostface shortly. We're going to get the drink roll call, and then we'll get into No Way Up. And this, we're doing this movie because we missed Shark Week last week.
Yeah. And I want it on record. I was initially tasked with finding us a shark movie for this week. I had a plan to find us a movie that we all had a chance at liking. I did some research. I looked into some ones I hadn't seen. I found one that I felt really optimistic about. The trailer looked awesome. The premise sounded like something different. It was fairly recent, and I was like, here it is. Mikey had already seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We ended up not doing that one, but I want it on record. I did try to find, my initial plan was to be kind of nice to Mikey this week.
Kat and I had this conversation when we did the Nick fucking Wu Cage cast, and I was like, Kat, you got to pick the movie.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put this episode together. You pick the movie. Kat picked a movie, and immediately I was like, what about this one?
I'm glad you had some kind of follow-up, though, because I spent a lot of time picking a movie that was Mikey didn't shoot it down. To your credit, Mikey, you didn't say we're not doing this, but you were this
also,
movie sucks.
You know it sucks.
And it sucks.
Also, to Mikey's credit, you said let's do a shark movie, and Mikey said okay. That never happens. That's never ever happens.
That's not true.
And that is why I was trying to be nicer to you with my initial pick this week, Mikey. And I did kind of lose interest when you said it was bad. The trailer looks really awesome, though. It had me sold.
Yeah, Mikey's seen a shark movie that neither one of us have seen.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Well, the shark movie was Black Demon. And it was a serious tone shark. I'm on record. I love Deep Blue Sea. It's one of my favorite movies. It's a serious tone shark movie. Jaws, obviously, So those I'm here for. The Meg I liked. It's the silly ones that get me. And for the record, my response when Kat said we should do a shark movie since we missed Shark Week was, God damn it, was my initial response. And I stared at my phone for a second. And 4 minutes later, I said, fine, let me know which one. I'm out. When it comes to picking shark movies, I'm no help. That is not my department.
But usually when Kat says we should do a shark movie because whatever reason Kat's made up in her head, that means we should do a shark movie. You say no.
Not always.
And to be perfectly honest, none of us had seen No Way Up.
Yes.
Right? And
correct.
I also thought, from what I had seen and heard, that it was going to be like a serious-minded shark movie. Because normally we pick, like, you know, Revenge of the Cardboard Cutout Shark or whatever the fuck, you know?
I'd watch the hell out of that.
I would, but, yeah. too. Absolutely, I would.
And I had a lot of those kinds of picks line up, because those are usually the picks that I have. But then Mikey was so affable, one might say, about the shark movie this week that it was like, we should pick one that's got a shot at being really good.
I don't care when Mikey, when the word affable is used to describe Mikey.
I was, though.
But I did try to find a serious-minded movie, and we'll talk about it when we get to it. I think that, in my defense, this is trying to be a serious-minded shark movie. It's just what it is.
I'm sure the fact that we're prefacing the pick so much kind of tells viewers how it ended for us. But but I really appreciated that you had a backup, because, like, the fact that we had never, none of us had seen it, and it looked like a more serious-minded shark movie, those were the two things I was looking for. It was the reason, like, the two primary factors for The Black Demon, except for that Mikey had seen it, right, to everyone's surprise. So,
and the premise to No Way Up, I thought, was good. Like, I thought, that's the potentially cool. Right. And we're talking
about
the movie at the top of the show.
Anyway, thank you, Mikey, for being agreeable about doing a Shark Week episode.
Yes, hey, man, allow me to say,
allow me to say, fuck you, Mikey.
You son of a bitch. Yes, you're going to fuck me. All right. Yeah. Following last week, we're going to get to drink roll call. We're going to talk more about the movie, obviously, when we get to the movie portion of the show. We have the text message, like I mentioned. I'm sure Gabagooli's all in here somewhere. But before we get to any of that, last week, I don't think it made the show, but patrons heard it in the Easter egg. I have a new button, Rob, and I was really hoping you haven't been in Discord lately.
Mm-mm.
I was very happy about that, because there is no fucking way I would have not been able to hit this button. And I've been hitting this button since I made it, and just in random Discord calls.
No, I thought just like sitting around your house, you just hit the button.
No. Cressy actually the day after was like, Mikey, hit that new Rob button again. He loves it. Here is my new Rob button that will undoubtedly, I have just been hitting for no reason. Like, if somebody said something, I would just hit it because maybe it kind of was funny, but also just it works for anything in my head. Here it is.
It got my mouth.
Beautiful. That is a beautiful button. I love it so much.
Yeah.
It's clean, it's crisp, and it got in your mouth, Rob. That's kind of crazy.
It did. It got in my mouth. It was awful.
Yeah, I love that button so much. So it's new, my new favorite.
It got in my mouth.
All right. So drink roll call first. What are you guys drinking?
I'm boring. I'll go first. I'm drinking another transfusion again this week. This has become my go-to drink. I will mix it up with something different, hopefully next week, I promise.
I am also drinking a transfusion.
Oh,
Rob is right. Wow. They are delightful.
It got my mouth.
Look at that.
Right? It's such a nice, like, this hot summer that we've been having. It's so refreshing. It tastes delicious. I love the transfusion. And these fuckers have been hiding it on a golf course for God knows how long.
I never would have found it there.
No, me either. I'm not looking at a golf course. If it was a disc golf course.
We all know Rob is very passionate about disc golf.
I am.
Yeah, that's an Easter egg conversation. I tweeted out what I am drinking. It is a pink lemonade, New Amsterdam. I'm not quite sure what this is.
Some from Barstool Sports, apparently.
Yeah. I was sitting here looking. I didn't realize it was from Barstool, but I just did a few minutes ago.
And their hockey podcast, Spittin' Chicklets, is apparently involved. I don't want to say it's not a good show. It's just not for me.
It's a pink lemonade vodka. Honestly, this thing is so good. It tastes great. It's smooth. I'm not mixing it with anything. It's just whatever the hell this concoction is that they made. It's Pink Whitney, I think it's called.
Hmm.
This thing is really good. And Rob, you can give me as much shit as you want. I don't care. It is delicious. This is way better than the Smirnoff Pink Lemonade.
Mikey.
Yes.
I have a surprise. Because I found Pink Whitney's at the gas station.
Really?
I'm currently drinking a transfusion, but I've actually got a little... I actually have 4 mini bottles. They only had mini bottles at the gas station, but they had a sale on them. So yeah, I'll actually be switching. I'm having both of your guys' drinks tonight because you sent this in on Thursday. I was at the gas station on Friday and I was like, oh shit.
Pat, it's really good.
Also, while we're on the subject of these drinks, I did learn that cold water, or cut water rather, does have transfusion in a can.
Oh shit.
Really?
Yeah.
That sounds dangerous.
It's not as strong as their other drinks.
So I can have more of them.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull it up here to look. It's I think it's 7%. So it's not
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's not nearly as strong as the other drinks. I mean, I have all the stuff to make it at home, so I'm just making them at home. And they are a delightful drink. This Pink Whitney that you're drinking, I don't know anything about that.
So good, Rob.
I will confirm or deny in a little bit when I finish my transfusion.
There's no way you don't like it, Kat. There's no way. This is the first time anyone's ever... I don't know if we've ever matched drink roll. Huh? Oh, wait, one... No, that was just a cheer wine. I don't think anyone's ever matched a drink roll call drink. We definitely have never matched both drink roll call drinks.
I'm really proud of myself.
Cat out here sniping drinks.
Yeah, double fisting. I'm proud of you, Cat. That was good for you. Hell of a deal.
In the break, I'm going to put one of the Pink Whitney's into the transfusion and just call it the sniper.
Sniper. Yeah. Barstool Sports, very shocked. Very, very surprised. I didn't notice it when I bought it. The pink lemonade is what sold me, obviously.
Obviously. So,
yeah, and I didn't think anything past it. But when I was just looking at it at my desk, I have it here now. So good. Pink lemonade, Rob. I tweeted an elevated pink lemonade.
Yeah. Are you going to follow up with a nice glass of rosé?
If I had it. But now I feel like I have to take this tweet down and tweet it again with and tag Barstool in it.
Oh, maybe.
Let's get us sponsored by Barstool.
Hey, I want you guys to know I DM'd Cutwater and never heard back from them motherfuckers. Because, like, who better to promote them than us, honestly?
Yeah, yeah. We talk a lot about the Cutwater drinks. And they are, they're delicious and dangerous.
Yeah. I should just email them the compilation, the sex tape compilation.
Maybe not the sex tape compilation.
You did this.
Yeah. It got my mouth.
Anyway. I love that button so much. What do we got to do next? Oh, text message next. Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Trace the call. It's coming from inside the house.
917-397-KILL. That's 917-397-5455. You can send in a text message, a voicemail. All text messages are read by Ghostface. All voicemails are aired, and we will discuss them on the show. Here is the text message for this week.
This text message is from the wonderful Leah. She says, the zombie apocalypse has begun. Your zodiac sign equals who helps you survive. Do you think you can make it out alive? I'm a Libra. Leah also attached a meme to this. Here is the list. Pisces gets Ash Williams. Aquarius gets Blade. Capricorn gets Rick Grimes. Sagittarius gets Otis Driftwood. Scorpio gets Daryl Dixon. Libra gets Laurie Strode. Virgo gets John Kramer. Leo gets R.J. McCready. Cancer gets Leatherface. Gemini gets Hannibal Lecter. Taurus gets Tallahassee. Aries gets Alice from Resident Evil.
Okay. Ghostface not on the list, too, by the way. Very disrespectful.
The wonderful Leah. Do we have two listeners named Leah?
You Stop son it. Of a bitch. Be nice to Leah.
I didn't know there was a second Leah. That's interesting.
Why do we got to tell you so often to be nice to Leah? Like,
that's
I'm going to get a
button.
That's
what we need is a be nice to Leah button. Yeah.
Seriously.
I am always nice to Leah.
God damn.
As for the meme, I feel good about my chances of surviving. I'm a Leo, and I would trust R.J. McCready with my life.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, we're all Leos, right? No, Kat, Kat, what are you?
I'm a Scorpio. I've got Daryl Dixon. Normally, I would not feel confident about having a Walking Dead character because I feel like their thing is that they get other people killed a lot. Mm-hmm. Cough, cough, Capricorn.
Hey, man, what's wrong with Rick? You leave Rick alone. I love Rick.
Honestly, I feel pretty good about having Daryl defending me.
Yeah. I think the good thing about...
And also, he looks like Norman Reedus.
About having MacReady is that he, one, he's got an awesome hat. And two...
The flamethrower.
Yeah, he's got... Well, yeah, two, he's got a flamethrower. And three, he's one of the few people on here that wouldn't try and kill me.
Unless...
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like
if you get, that maybe you weren't you.
If you get stuck with Leatherface... You know, now you're running from zombies and Leatherface, you know? So yeah, that's not fun. And honestly, that's, I didn't know you were a Scorpio, Kat. I would have guessed you were a Cancer.
Nope.
Wow.
Yeah. I am also a Leo, so I also got RJ MacReady.
We're going to fight over who gets to snuggle up with him at night, Mikey.
No, you can have that, man. I mean, you guys know how I feel about the thing, man. I associate these characters with the movies. And I mean, even this, like, just in general, RJ MacReady, like, all right, fine, whatever. I mean, yeah, I'll probably live because he's a tough son bitch, you know, and like Kat said, the flamethrower, like, that's pretty badass. Fine. Like, I'm jealous of the Daryl thing. I'm not gonna lie. Blade, I would have went with. Pisces got pretty lucky with Ash. The meme does go up on Patreon, though. So patreon.com/radio. All the visuals go up on there. But yeah,
also,
that's
while we're talking about cuddling up next to people.
Daryl.
Yeah.
Yeah, sexy man there.
All I'm saying is if Norman Reedus is down, I'm down.
Give me Kurt Russell any day of the week. With that beard, are you kidding me? That was a pro beard.
Mid movie though. Very overrated.
An awesome movie. Yeah. And this second Leah. Really coming in strong with a cool text and meme.
Be nice to Leah.
I'm
Thank
waiting
you, Leah,
for the
text.
Day that Leah is both the top and bottom of the power rankings. Just starts like second Leah, best patron.
I can't stand you. All right. Thank you, Leah, for the text message. First time anybody sent a meme via text message. So
yeah it's like weird that. Hearing Ghostface read it.
Why?
I don't know. This is weird hearing him read a meme.
All right. Okay. Do I have to hit my button?
Yes, please.
Damn it.
Get the fuck out of here! You! Hey, go back to turning tricks and old folk and you'll fade in the ass!
Stop. The Gabagooly Mystery Corner, where our listeners anonymously send in Italian memes making fun of me for being Italian. Don't look for the horror Italian here. There is none. They're just buttholes. I don't know why we're still doing this, but over a year later, here we are. Memes go up on Patreon. I try my best to describe them on the show.
I don't even know what this means.
Yeah, me either. It's a cartoon of the New Jersey, the Garden State Parkway, which is New Jersey's. The amount of traffic, honestly. Everybody want to know why I hate New Jersey. Like, yes, is it embedded in my blood being from New York that we're supposed to hate New Jersey? Yeah. But the true reason I hate New Jersey, the amount of traffic I have got stuck in that fucking state is absolutely insane. Nobody there knows how to fucking drive. It's absolutely horrible. There is always traffic and there's never a reason for the traffic. So this Garden State Parkway sucks. Okay, giant, it sucks, giant balls.
I got my mouth.
All right, so I don't like this meme based on this alone. It's also captioned, I got my Gabba Gould. And in between Gabba and Gould, there's a gun for some reason. And it says, I got my Gabba Gould on the gardens on the side of the New Jersey Turnpike. I don't know what the fuck this means. What the hell is this?
Well, I like it.
I was hoping maybe as our Italian consultant, you could explain what meant.
Break this down for us, Mikey.
How the hell am I supposed to know? I don't know. The Garden State Parkway sucks, and gabagool is an annoying term that is overused and is very disrespectful.
Well, I like how somebody turned it into a verb.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it means.
And a noun also. Yeah, like yeah, they spelled that and up. Verb, yeah. And...
yeah, that's nice. No, I approve of this one. And honestly, that would make a great t-shirt.
That's okay. So the person that sent this in sent it in with the caption, "I wish I could get this on a t-shirt."
God damn it.
Great minds think alike.
Also, this is not the first meme that we've gotten from this particular listener, but I had not heard from this particular listener for a long time. I did not know they still listened to the show.
Oh, wow.
But people are sticking with us. They're invested in the Goblin Ghouli Mystery Corner.
Honestly, for anyone who thinks like this is shtick or whatever the hell, like Kat will not tell me who the fuck sends these in. It's so annoying. Like I'm curious now. Who the hell like fell off and is back on? And you don't interact with us, so we didn't even Kat didn't even know you still listen to the show. But so this is how you interact?
I will throw this out there, though. I'm really bad because I don't have Discord on my phone. So, like, I'm not in the Discord very often. So, if someone doesn't talk to me personally on Twitter, I assume that they don't listen to the show anymore, which is not a good metric, I guess. It's just my only point of reference.
A lot of people are leaving Twitter. And you should be in the Discord more often, Kat.
I should be. Yeah. The issue is like when I leave, I uninstalled Discord from my phone because I was getting messages all the time. Mm-hmm. And it annoyed the hell out of me. And I was like, well, I'll just put it on my laptop and then I'll check it like once a day in the evening. And mm-hmm. I'm really bad about remembering that it's there. And then there's the anxiety of like catching up on messages.
Oh, I'm not doing all that.
It's a lot. Yeah, I'm very intrigued on what went down, like who this is, though.
Well, thanks, whoever it is. Thanks for sticking around and listening to the show and supporting us and being a contributing member of our community.
Yeah. Contribute in a positive way instead of, you know, racist memes.
And to all of the people that don't send me Gabagooly memes, I don't know that if you still listen to the show, this is the only way to prove to me that you listen to the show.
Apparently.
I had to fill out, it wasn't like for anything serious, but it was like, it was a little questionnaire, right? Where someone asked like, how often on a scale from 1 to 10, how often do you stereotype people? And I was like, I don't really stereotype people. And then I thought about Gabagooly Mystery Corner and without hesitation, I just put 10. It's like, never mind.
I'll be damned.
But now someone thinks I've just admitted to being like probably racist somewhere. And it's because of this segment.
Yeah. You think?
Celebrating someone else's heritage isn't racist at all. It's the opposite.
It's not celebrating.
It might be probably stereotyping still, though. I don't know.
I mean, look, we can't control what people send to us.
That is also true.
Moving forward. All right. That's it for the Gabagooly stuff. We're done.
That's it. We're done. Okay.
Unless you want another one. I bet we got some loaded.
Yeah, if you want another one.
We have a year's worth. No, I don't want another one. Absolutely not. No.
It got my mouth.
That was horrible, too. Like, I don't even understand it. It makes no sense. Why is it got to be Jersey? Like, I don't.
It's kind of perfect, honestly.
I will admit, sometimes the ones that make no sense are the funniest ones to me.
Yeah. I mean, it really doesn't make sense, but also it makes the most sense.
Also, I think this one, like, shout out to our Patreon show. I think this one might have gotten me the trivia question because New Jersey was on my mind.
Oh, yeah.
New Jersey was just, like, hanging around there. And I think this might be why it's all clicking in now.
Hey, New Jersey. I hate New Jersey very much.
But Greg lives there.
I hate New Jersey. I hate New Jersey very much.
You can write a dick.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to take a really quick break and we will be right back with our discussion on No Way Up. All right. No Way Up. What year did this movie come out?
It's this year.
This year, right?
This year.
Yeah.
All right. The trivia that you started, Rob, and all that stuff, I really don't look up anything on these movies anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Like, unless it sticks out to me to, you know, for something. Yeah. So here we are. We missed Shark Week last week, so we're making up for it with a shark movie this week. Like I said, I'm here for these, like the serious tone shark movies. I'm here for them all day long. I love them so much. Does anybody want to start with their opening thoughts on this one?
I will open by saying unless someone has a crazy surprise waiting for me, I think I'm going to be the kindest to this movie. It did not live up to, and I've said this before in the show, where I think one of the worst things a movie can do is not live up to its potential. This does commit that crime. This is very guilty of that, because it's a very high potential movie that is just kind of okay to watch, too mildly frustrating at times. I'm kind of okay with it. Like, this was an okay movie to watch. I felt fine watching it. I think I'm going to be the nicest to it overall.
Interesting. I bounced back and forth throughout this on whether I was okay with it or just hating it. I never loved it at any point. It is what I find so frustrating about this movie is, like, if we pick a shark movie like Revenge of the Cardboard Cutout Shark, we know what we're going to get. And more often than not, that movie's able to deliver it.
Yeah.
This movie, they're trying to make a serious, scary shark movie, and they fail miserably.
Don't deliver.
No.
Like,
they miss the mark on what they're trying to do by a mile. And so, because it's just not well made. I mean, it's not poorly made. They don't execute the premise very well. It's not scary. It's not tense. It's not none of that stuff that they want it to be. It's not, and it's also not silly and goofy and funny and fun. It's just kind of there. Like, I didn't dislike it entirely, but man, there's nothing I liked about it.
There were a couple moments, I think, that I enjoyed.
I take that back. There's one thing that I liked about it, and it'll certainly come up later that we'll talk about.
Okay.
Again, serious shark movies I'm in. This started, and I didn't know quite how to gauge this thing, honestly. Because when Kat sent the poster for this movie, it's a shark. All I seen, like, I glanced at it, and because chances are I'm not going to win in this situation anyway. So the amount of looking into that is done for me initially is non-existent. So I seen the poster, and it's a plane crashing in the water. And a shark, like Jaws style, coming up. I'm like, oh, fuck. And the caption of it is, sharks on a plane is peak cinema. I said, yeah. God damn it. So I thought I was getting into a trailer park shark, Sharks of the Corn style movie. And it's going to be them damn sharks on them fucking sharks on a fucking plane. This was not what I got at all. And it started off when I turned the movie on. It was beautiful. Like, they had a lot of great underwater shots of, you know, just water, sea life, fish, you know, all these things. But it was just really high quality shots. And I was like, holy shit. Like, okay, like, here we go. It started off with story, which the characters were able to kind of, you know, like, I wasn't bored, you know, like, I was, you know, it was fun. Like, it was clear setup for a movie, and it wasn't terrible setup, and I was here for it. The boring part came in eventually. It did.
Sure.
And I don't hate this movie. I was kind of, honestly, once it really, like, I seen it was a serious tone and I seen the quality, I was like, okay, this has potential. Very early on, this has potential to be a movie I really, 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 really like. That was my thought process 15, 20 minutes in. I was like, okay, here we go. And it just never quite got there. You know, like, I can see, like, maybe I'll watch this again. Like I said, I didn't hate it, but it's probably not, like, at best, it'll be background something. Yeah, that's where I'm at with it.
I am glad that we got the kind of shark movie right. Like, even if we didn't get a winner. my biggest complaint with this, and it's it's a complaint, but I think it's also the thing that saved me from being really mad about the wasted potential in this movie, is that like at the 15-20 minute mark, I knew everything that was going to happen in this movie. Like, I knew who who was going to make it. I knew what a lot of the jokes were going to be. I knew more or less like what the beats were going to be. I correctly guessed some of the shots that would appear in the film. It's a very predictable, like, basic shark movie. It doesn't do anything exceptionally well. And once I knew that was what I was in for, I could kind of let go of what I had wanted it to be. The other side of that is that I wasn't surprised by anything. Like, it's not for a thriller. It doesn't have any jump scares. It doesn't have any crazy plot twists. It doesn't have any really revolutionary shark shots, you know, like it's all kind of stuff we've seen before, which does make it feel pretty boring in the middle. Like,
yeah, I had to back it up a lot because I found myself on my phone not paying attention to what was going on.
That happened a few times. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, I will give it this too, though. Mikey, you pointed out that it does look good. Like, I think
it looks great.
This was shot really well. Like, it does look good. It lost me pretty quickly into the movie, though, before they even got on the airplane, because I hated every single character.
Really?
Yeah.
No way.
I didn't like any of these characters, and I knew that the movie wanted me to like them. But I just didn't. Like, I found the old people with their granddaughter, that whole trio was annoying. I did not like either the guys that were in the friend group, the main character, the chick. She was fine, I guess. The only character I liked really was the bodyguard guy.
I liked the bodyguard guy.
Love him.
It was clear that he was going to die early, right? Like,
yeah.
So it was kind of like I wasn't invested because I knew he wasn't long for this world.
With the bodyguard guy, I also knew he wasn't long for this world, but I was kind of hoping that there would be an arc where she felt guilt for putting him on the plane, know is terrible,
nice.
But he does specifically ask her if she needs him. And they set up what I thought was going to be a relationship where what was going to be a dynamic, you know, where maybe her friends find out that she was the one that wanted the bodyguard on the plane, and because she feels responsible for his death. Like, I thought that was going to be, you know, that movies like this have to have like a dramatic confession toward the end. I thought she was going to break down and be like, my dad doesn't care if I have a bodyguard. I wanted him on the plane because I'm scared, you know? And I was kind of waiting for that. There was a dramatic confession that I think was a lot dumber than that. Because I didn't care about that plot.
Yeah, I didn't like, he was the only character that I liked. I didn't like any of these other, I thought the old people and their granddaughter were annoying. I thought that the one guy was just kind of a dick. I think he thought he was being funny, but he was just being an asshole. And her boyfriend,
Fucking hated her boyfriend, though.
That guy, good God, man. And everything just, it like, it felt like, as you're watching it, like, well, this could be cool, but for some reason, I don't give a shit, you know? Like, I was very checked out of this whole thing. And it's a crashed plane with sharks. I should be invested in that.
Yeah.
I think a big part of I don't want to throw the performers under the bus too much, because I think it's a script level problem. I think the arc of the movie is great. They're like, here's a cool thing. Here's a cool thing. Here's a cool thing. Like, beat for beat, this is what's going to work. But then they didn't have anyone that was good at writing dialogue to fill in those breaks. Because like the dialogue, and it's not so bad that you can kind of notice, oh, hey, the dialogue's bad. It's just bad enough that you don't care. Like, there was nothing concrete. Because like, There was stuff in there that I could tell was really meaningful. I think one of my favorite like arcs that they have, or I don't know, cyclical storytelling maybe, is where we see, you know, the grandfather talking about his shrapnel. It comes up very organically because of the metal detector. And then we find out, like, in a moment of panic after we lose the first aid guy, that the old lady is a nurse because she was the one, you know, because that's like how she met her husband, was the shrapnel story, which we didn't get to hear the full shrapnel story. You know, we just hear the granddaughter say, "You've told that 1,000 times. And that's like, that's the kind of story for background characters that should be really clever and like very sentimental. But like, there just wasn't any passion in any of those lines.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of like, okay, I can tell that works, I guess, on a concept level.
Right. There was a lot of that. I do feel like a lot of the performances felt very flat. And I don't know that it wasn't the actors. I don't know. Typically, when it's everybody, then I go, well, it can't be the actors. At least one person would be able to get this right.
See, I felt like it was everybody.
But it is everybody. So maybe it is a script problem. Maybe it's a direction problem. I don't know. I just know that every performance in this movie, even the guy I liked, I felt his performance was just kind of flat.
See, I think they just didn't give it, like, and another example, you could pull this complaint that I have, you could pull any individual thread out of this movie and it would be the same thing. But like, he was also my favorite character, and I also felt like his performance was really flat, but it was the same kind of thing where it's like, you can tell on a concept level that it works. He's got the thing where we see in the beginning of the airport, like, they set him up to be a cool guy because he doesn't have to look around, he's already scoped everyone out. Yeah. You know, and he's like listing all the stuff, and it's like, you could see how this would be really impressive, but you're just not really impressed with it. It's just like, okay, that's a skill he has. Like,
right. Yeah, and then they go through that sort of exact same thing on the plane.
Yeah.
Right after the crash, when he's talking about the angle that they're at, and then, you know, there should be this, and we should have that, and we can do this. And it feels like it should be impressive, but it's kind of not.
And I do think it's a script level, because he also has a point where he comes back up, like right before he dies, right before he's taken by the shark, where this very practical, very like information first man chooses to have this like really sentimental moment instead of saying, "Hey, shark," which right. Like, it's like, it's not unbelievable because you can tell that there should be a sentimental moment here, but it's bad writing because that's not what he would say.
Yeah, it's this movie. I don't know. Like, I was just looking at my notes, and my very first note was about this, but it's there's not a lot of information to be gleaned from the note that I wrote, which is, what the hell is going on with these characters? So before they even get on the plane, I'm already 1 foot out the door on this movie, because I don't like anything that they're setting up as far as the characters go. And we've talked about this many, many times on this show about whether or not you have to like characters. Yeah. And I don't know that you do have to like characters,
but they have to be interesting.
Yeah, but they have to be interesting. And these aren't. They're just kind of exactly what you would expect the characters in this movie to be like, except flat.
I also, this is like, while we're talking about characters and archetypes and stuff, this is a small nitpick, but I would have liked to meet, I know that Rob does not like snakes on a plane, but one thing that I think it does really, really well is it spends the most time on the characters who are going to make it the longest, but it does enough introducing of other characters that we feel something when they die, even really early on. You know, or like, we at least remember them, we notice who they are. This one introduces Ava like 6 times. She has too many arcs going on. And I would have loved, like, the lawyer thing, that wasn't anything that she used on the plane. It wasn't related to her character. We could have had another lawyer who dies super easy, and then we'd be surprised. We'd be like, oh no, the lawyer died before they could go back to law school. Like, because she already had stuff that she was working through that was more important than that. Right. You know, like, I would have liked to see, you know, and they make kind of a comment. They're like, the plane is so empty, but it's like, I would have loved if we had known more of the casualties other than just Grandpa.
Right. Because it was an empty flight, but there were other people on there. I mean, they talk, we see other people. We just don't get to know anything about them at all. See, yeah, that was really the biggest problem from the get-go for this movie, and it never got better. We didn't get to, I didn't feel like I knew these characters at all, and I don't feel like I ever got to know these characters very well, other than the fact that they were having possibly the worst day ever. You know, it's bad enough if you're in a plane that crashes. Lucky you survived the crash. Oh, deal with fucking sharks now? God damn it.
See, I didn't mind before they got on the plane, it didn't bother me. You know, performances, all that stuff. Because this is, in an ideal film, the characters are going to be interesting, sure. But in a movie like this, we're not here for the characters. We're here to see sharks tear them apart. You know, it's kind of like a Friday the 13th thing where characters don't really mean shit, you know, especially at a certain point. They just truly don't. So that didn't bother me at all, really. Where it lost me was, and keep in mind, me saying that the performances didn't bother me, it's purely from, I didn't expect anything stellar. You know, like I thought the bodyguard was funny. Like he was, you know, for the type of character he was, dude, he was pretty funny. Everybody else, they were all right. Like, fine. They were setting up story for, you know, loose story for these guys. Like, okay, fine. Here, let's see where it goes. When they got on, my biggest problem with the performances were all the serious moments afterwards. Like, sure. The acting was just very flat. The reactions were horrible. Facials, inflection, all that shit. It was just bad. And like, that isn't necessarily something I bring up a lot talking about movies. So like, it stuck out a lot. Like, this is a situation. Deep Blue Sea is a good example, man. Rappaport, I think, who was in that movie, and then Samuel L. Jackson, obviously, even LL Cool J did a good job. Their reaction to these moments with these sharks were fear or, you know, whatever. And it was all over the top because it all should be over the top because you're dealing with a fucking shark in water, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just didn't feel that. It didn't translate at all.
I think that's the big problem with this movie is the... You say, like, in Friday the 13th, the characters don't matter. We're just there to see Jason slaughter them. And I get that because I 100% agree. I don't really care about the characters in Friday the 13th movies for the most part. But I love those movies. I don't care about any of these characters. But I also think we don't really see anything interesting happen. The sharks, we see attack people, but it's not interesting, really, in like a cool way. Or
I also kind of resent that, like, I do feel that way about slashers where I don't always need to know the characters real well. And sometimes with the silly shark movies, I feel the same where it's like, just show me some people to get eaten by sharks. But like, this movie is not set up like that. Like, it's set up almost more like a tense survival situation than a shark movie, you know, than mm-hmm. like a traditional shark movie, I guess. Anyway, this is more of like a Shallows, like, sort of we're focusing on like a core cast and we need to be invested on whether or not they make it.
The Shallows, another movie we talked about doing this week, and god damn it, we should have.
I would have pushed harder for it, except for this seemed so promising.
Yeah, and I think that's another problem with this movie, right? It's the promise of the movie, because you have people stuck in an airplane under the sea with sharks around them. I want to see what they're going to do.
There should be a lot of chaos.
It turns out what they decide to do is just wait around in the plane, which honestly isn't a bad decision. It's just not very cinematically interesting.
I'm not a math person. I don't know if are either of you better than me at math?
Well, I don't know if you know this, Ken. I've invented my own math.
Okay, maybe yeah. Rob Math can explain this to me. They're deep enough under the water that the pressure is like threatening the structural integrity of the plane, mm-hmm. but they're also only 2 minutes away from the surface.
Yeah.
I don't know what the minute per PSI is on.
Yeah, I don't
the
fucking
ocean.
Know that either.
But it seemed implausible to me.
Well, what seemed implausible to me is how they would know any of that.
Like, that too.
I feel like if you're in that plane, you have no idea how far below the surface of the water you are.
No.
Because when that plane hit the water, you were in the middle of a plane fucking crash.
Yeah.
Like, it just seemed like they were making a lot of assumptions that there was absolutely zero idea for them to have any idea to know.
And like the pressure one, I kind of got, because it's like, if you hear the creaking, you're like, okay, the pressure's probably getting right. close. But then they like knew exactly. She's like, how long can you hold your breath? And he's like, 2 minutes. And she's like, that's enough. And I was like, is that enough?
Right.
I don't think that's enough.
Yeah. There's zero way for you to know that, because you have no idea.
Even if they were directly under the surface of the water, like, they would still not have that information.
Right. Yeah. It was weird.
Let's talk about logic a little bit here. And
okay.
I'm all for suspending disbelief and everything. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But like, there's so many glaring things. Like you said, if there's enough pressure to damage the structure of a plane, and this isn't like, you know, something that's been underwater for like years and it's starting to, you know, like this thing just crashed, you know, so right. It's still pretty stable for the most part, you know, considering something that's crashed. But and a plane, you know, like something like that. How are you, if the pressure's damaging that structure, how are you able to just swim out of it and float to the top? You know, wouldn't that hurt a human body? You know,
I would think so.
Yeah, I've never understood how that works. Like, you hear about people getting like the bends and stuff. I don't know what the fuck any of that shit is.
Well, I mean, the thing that went to see the Titanic, that didn't go well.
No,
I'm sure it wasn't that far down, albeit, but still, pressure is pressure. If it's damaging a plane, it should damage your human body, I would imagine.
And also, well, so that's another kind of, I question how far down they were, because you're 100% right. This is not a pressure controlled environment, which is the problem with the plane, obviously, but it's also not, and it's obviously not a watertight environment. Especially once it crashes and floods. But it's like, yeah, a human body, if it's not pressure controlled, you can't make it down that far in that amount of time without taking damage. Like, that's not even a them swimming out thing. That's a how are they still alive thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And where are my notes? They had mentioned like it's airlocked, whatever. Look, I guess we could talk about this at some point as well, but the whole when the engine exploded on the side of the plane, on the wing of the plane, and it you know, blew up the side, and or I don't remember the side of the plane, there was a giant gash in the side of the plane.
Yeah, the plane blows open.
Pretty much, yeah. How the fuck does that thing not fill with water? Look, I get the airlock, but like, it's not like I've been on a plane before. It's not like the last six rows are airlocked magically by nothing there. You know, like it's not like I don't understand. I was thinking maybe like the way it crashed and it hit the ground, like water stopped coming in. Mm-hmm. Like, but then the sharks got in. Like, it just made no sense for that thing.
Much bigger plane once it crashed.
Yeah, like I don't understand how that happened. Like, how does that, the last six rows, or not even four rows of a plane, doesn't fill with water?
I'm not fully submerged. Sure. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I didn't think about it at the time. That wasn't one of the things that jumped out at me. I just sort of accepted it, I guess. But yeah, it doesn't really make sense.
I thought about it too, because this was probably because of that dumb Fangoria slogan on the front where it was like snakes on a plane in the water, sharks on a plane. I had me drawing a lot of comparisons between the two movies. I, for some reason, at some point was thinking of this as like a two level plane. And I think it's because that's the only way that it made sense to me that the entire plane was not filled with water, because it's like, I could kind of understand there being a bubble if it were, but with where it hit, with where the plane was torn open, you're correct. It makes 100, it makes 0% sense.
And it's not like they're so close to the surface that part of the plane is sticking out of the water either. It's completely submerged. It's all underwater.
The only thing I can think of is that, like, it's, and I'm not even sure this works either, if they had come in at the same, like, if they had twisted at the last minute, as that part of the plane is hitting the surface of the water, it rotates, maybe they're just in a giant air bubble somehow. Like,
yeah, I don't know. I didn't really think much about it at the time as I was watching the movie, and I can't make sense of it now, but it didn't really bother me at the time.
It bothered the shit out of me
a little bit, but I was also thinking of it as a bigger plane.
And like I said, with all the other things, like we mentioned, it just like I seen that and I was like, oh my God, like how that makes no sense. That's ridiculous. But, you know, I got over it and I'm like, okay, let's see what goes on. Like, whatever. There's a million things, as much as I love Deep Blue Sea, there's a million things that I could point out that are ridiculous and like, I'll just get over it, you know?
Right.
But when you keep compounding things that give me that same thought process, you know, like it gets even harder. Right. Like, I'm not going to look over anything now because you don't give me a reason to, because you just keep giving me shit that's glaring. So I don't know. I feel like they just wanted to give a reason where this is airlock. Well, then shouldn't the whole fucking thing be airlock? Like, and how are giant sharks getting in there? It's just the last four rows, dude. Like, I don't understand the logic here. So like, that annoyed the shit out of me. Like I said, the pressure thing annoyed me where I don't understand. But there's easy ways to get around it. Like, maybe don't have it completely submerged, you know, like maybe have it like on a rock, like a big ass rock where, you know, just that back part of the plane. I don't know if that has the danger. Maybe it could fall in. I don't know. It's just hard to give a premise when you're giving so serious of a tone. Like, there was a giant gash on the side of the rows of the plane. Of the seats of the plane were flying out of this hole. It wasn't like a small hole on the side and it crashed. Right. Like, it's just, it was a lot to overlook.
That is kind of the danger of more serious tone shark movies. I think it's why there aren't more really good ones, because the sillier, and I know that you don't necessarily agree with this, Mikey, but the sillier a shark movie is, the more I'm willing to forgive it for bad science. But like, once you start taking yourself seriously, you're asking me to take you seriously. And if I'm like poking holes in stuff this early in a movie, and like, the more fun I'm having, the less questions I'm gonna ask. But like, this was a very, you know, drawn out, taking itself kind of seriously sort of movie. And at that point, it's like, well, I have a lot of time to ask these questions. Which the last time, I'm going to compare this to Snakes on a Plane, I promise. But it also has a thing where they're like, they set a deadline, which I think is inherently good, right? Like, they're adding stakes to this. They're like, our plan is to wait this out. And then it's like, well, how much air do we have? Not that much. We can be here for 3 or 4 hours, maybe. And it's like, okay, so that's a definite time for the rescue team to get there. They're out in the middle of the ocean. They don't know if the black box is with the plane. That's a good setup for this to be like really tense. But we never really get to see that pressure. Like, they're already working on which you should be working on backup plans in an emergency situation. I'm not saying don't do that, but like, in a movie, you should let us feel that pressure, you know? And they don't really do that. They don't have any visual indicators that they're running out of air. You know, there's no letting us be tense about that before they're on to the next plan.
I thought the running out of air thing was going to come into play at some point, and it never really does.
And it does in Snakes on a Plane, which is like the same. Like, Snakes on a Plane is so silly as a movie, but like, there are these basic movie cues that it still knows to take. Like, people start sweating when they run out of air, and their temperature shifts. You know, there's a lot more hyperventilating, and it's frustrating that this one didn't think to do any of that.
And that would have been the move, too, by the way, instead of the pressure thing. So now we would have one less thing to poke a hole in and might have been able to get over, you know, the plane filling up and what, you know, all that stuff. If you didn't add something else on top of it, to talk about the running out of air thing, you didn't need to bring up pressure. And I wouldn't mind human beings floating out of this situation, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Doing too much, just use logic sometimes, a lot easier.
And even the pressure thing, like, I don't mind that as an added stakes thing if they needed it, but we never even felt the pressure from the first thing, and now they're adding a second thing, and it's so much more
satisfying
to watch a movie where we're watching characters have reactions to things than it is for them to just constantly be told new information.
Well, and that's that's sort of the thing that happens, right? They mention the limited air supply that they have, but it never factors in. They mention the pressure, but it never really factors in, right? Like the one thing that does happen that they never really even talk about is the fucking plane does eventually start to slide and fall apart again.
Yeah.
But they never talk about that. It's just, it's weird. Like, it's just a weird thing to introduce these ideas of this sort of these looming dangers of pressure and a low air supply and then not ever really make them factor into the story.
Well, it's almost like they want you to forget about at least the pressure part, you know, like they introduce it and it's almost like they want you to forget about it because, you know, it's not going to make sense of what they do later on. So like, well, why mention it at all then? I agree. Yeah,
I also have like a weird complaint about the viciousness of the sharks. Like the thing about sharks is that we portray them as really like terrible in shark movies, but they're pretty chill creatures. And then we also see them being like vicious killers in movies. I would have loved for this to go one way or the other. because the sharks are needlessly cruel, it seems, in this movie. Like, they'll go out of their way just to, like, grab somebody even once the blood frenzy is over, including the rescuers who aren't even, like, near the blood. But then, like, they'll just let the humans more or less chill once they move back a little bit, which is what I was hoping to see. The one shot that I kind of thought that we would have in this movie that never came up, and I'm mad about it because I think it would have been cool. I was expecting a big shark to like hop up and get stuck and that to be the thing that dragged the plane further down before it snapped in half. And then, you know, like they have to try and scramble their way back up a slippery wet plane, like to avoid the shark teeth. And having made it to the end of the movie, on the one hand, it's like, well, they clearly had a very limited shark budget. Like they knew when they could and could not get away with showing the sharks that they had, which I do kind of respect. But on the other hand, it's like, I'd love to see something like that happen. Like the sharks having an impact on the plane would have made this feel more like a shark movie.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I did expect to see something similar to that too. And we don't ever really get it.
No.
We do get to see people fight sharks with bubbles.
We did get to see that.
Yeah. Which did not happen nearly enough for my liking though, unfortunately.
Another thing that pissed me off is too, the rescuers. They were the most useless things. Like, they could not have been in the fucking movie. If they never showed up, the movie wouldn't have changed really at all.
Yeah.
I wish we had spent more time with them.
Well, we got more kills.
Yeah, true. But goddamn, dude, you could have had a bunch of people scuba diving. And it would have, how did they not go down to this wreckage in the middle of a damn ocean more prepared than this?
I don't know. My favorite thing about their rescuer is they get down, they've been looking for this plane. They find it, they get down there, and the guy spends the time just waving at him through the fucking window. Yeah. He's not doing anything. He's just like waving and giving the okay sign, and then he gets his ass eaten. It's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, we're in the middle of the ocean. Everything's fine. Yeah, it's just me and this tank on my back, but you know, we're good. We got this here. What the fuck? What was he going to do? What was he going to do? Even if he got in the plane and no shark ate him, what was he going to do? What the fuck was the point?
Like, they're professionals, Mikey. They know their job.
Like, were they going to just hang out with them in there? Like, what? He had nothing. Like, what was he going to do?
He was going to, like, distribute snacks, I guess. Yeah. Like, so I want to talk about my favorite line in the movie. And at first I was, like, irrationally angry about it, but the more distance I have from this movie, the more I think it might be genius. The friend who I did not like, he wasn't my least favorite character. The boyfriend was my least favorite character, but like his friend that's with them is my second least favorite character. And he had the best line in the whole movie where he's like, what is this shark doing on the plane? Like he has Like, he doesn't have the context for the fact the plane is now underwater.
Right.
Like, it makes more sense for the shark to be on the plane than them to be on the plane, given the circumstances.
Right. Yeah.
He just seems so like not even like scared of the shark, but he's like, how is it here? Like, the plane is still in the sky. The only thing I can assume is that they needed that for like a trailer clip or something, and they had to work that line in there. But I think it's just one of the dumbest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was really stupid. And the plan, like, I just kept also the plan to like swim to the surface. It's like, you got one guy's like missing half a leg. You got another guy who's got a broken arm. Really? That's the plan? I mean,
oh boy,
those guys are not making it, right? Like,
that was another thing that I was just desperate to see, because the old lady is like, he's not going to make it, sweetheart. And she's like, no, we've got to try. We're not going to leave him. And it's like, in addition to the fact that they don't have a wetsuit available for him, I would have loved if we'd had a scene where he was trying to swim. Like, what what was the plan there?
I didn't get it. Like, I mean, I understand like that impulse, right? Of like, we gotta get the fuck out of here. We gotta swim. But first of all, it's a bad decision. There are goddamn sharks in that water, and they've shown that they are eating people.
Yeah.
And secondly, you got two people with you now that are missing limbs, more or less. The one guy's not, he's got a broken arm, but still. Like,
I was just going to say, because the rescuers have gone missing at this point. So, like, there's not going to be the helicopters do reach them easily, but they don't know that there are going to be helicopters there. In a survival situation, you have to assume that he's going to have to get that bandaged arm very, very wet, and it's going to get infected crazy fast, assuming he makes it to the surface, which he's not going to, because he is got an open wound and there are sharks in the water.
And that was a big open wound. Imagine how painful that would be in the salt water.
Yes. The
salt.
That
would suck.
Oh my God.
That would suck. I mean, my thought at that time was, the plan, I think, still has to be, even as boring as it is to make a movie about this, to wait, because now these rescuers have come down here. When those divers don't go back up, and, you know, they're going to know something's wrong. They're going to send other people down, hopefully with a spear gun, at least, you know?
Yeah. I'm right with you about the limbs thing. Like, I really wish that he had not died of blood loss before we could have gotten another scene of him in the water, because that's just insane to me. And also, I really hate that it doesn't come back up. It's another thing that they set up that doesn't matter. Like, because when they started getting injured, I was like, okay, this is the incentive to wait around, and the pressure and the air are finally going to be relevant. Like, even though we're losing them more quickly now. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, because they're like, well, we can still go. And then the two people that are injured, one conveniently dies, and then one just has a panic attack. And it's like, let that be about the pain in your arm or something, right? Like, come on. But he's just being a baby.
That girl trying to give CPR to that guy when he was dead was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. It's like, this is, and then she's like, it worked for you. I'm like, yeah, she was drowning. That works when someone is drowning and has water in their lungs. When they've bled out, I don't care how many times you pump his chest, he's not getting more blood.
She should have tried to stab the other guy and just like pour his blood into the boyfriend.
They set themselves up in a situation. I don't blame them for trying to float to the top. Cause what else do you do? You know, like, what? There's nothing else for you to do.
Right.
It's just, they put themselves in that situation and built everything around it that made no sense.
And it's like, it's just such a tense, like, they had so many outs from it, you know, like you already pointed out a few, Mikey, where it's like they could have had like these other situations that would have been more plausible. I think another thing, having the boyfriend lose a leg, that could have been like a really tense moment. We could have split the group up, maybe, where like she chooses to wait out so that she can sit with the boyfriend while the other people take the wetsuits. Like, or we could have seen her struggle with the decision a little bit, at least, because like that's a huge maybe we should wait factor, but they just like did not take that out.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, they were in a tough spot with what they built around it. So they couldn't win at that point, honestly. Yeah. But that would have been a fucking hell of an ending, though, man. They start floating up and all that blood's coming out and they just get torn apart, movie over. Like, how cool would that have been?
I was thinking at the end, like, when that girl finally gets out, and then I was like, you've got to be kidding me, because now she's got to, like, strap herself into that thing and get hauled up like she's Rambo into a helicopter. Like, what a fucking day, man. Jesus Christ. So maybe you guys know the answer to this, but I want to circle back to something we touched on just briefly, because it was my absolute favorite thing about the movie. Are sharks afraid of bubbles?
I thought so.
I don't know the answer to that. I always thought, like, it disoriented them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Or distracted, at least. Yeah.
I think, like, it complicates their vision or something, doesn't it? Because, like, they don't have good eyesight. They sense vibrations. So I right. think the bubbles kind of, like, interfere with... I don't want to call it sonar. I don't know what it is. But... Well,
because when the little girl mentions, I learned in school that sharks are afraid of bubbles, I thought it was a throwaway line. And as I was watching this movie and getting kind of, like, bored, I was like, man, it'd be cool if they fought the sharks with bubbles. And then at the end, the plan is to fight the sharks with bubbles. And I got super excited, but then we don't really see that much of that.
No.
But I became obsessed with this idea of fighting sharks with bubbles. So I went online and I have sent messages to 8 of the foremost shark experts in the world.
Oh, good.
Asking if sharks are indeed afraid of bubbles. Unfortunately, and I was hoping to have a response from at least one of them before the show started, but I did not get one. I don't know if I'll hear back, because that seems like a really fucking stupid question to ask with anybody with doctor before their name. But if I do hear anything back, we'll discuss that, I guess, on a further episode.
Oh, I can't wait for the update on that.
Yeah.
Should I sign up for a shark form?
Yeah.
If you can find one, I looked for it. That was my first thought.
Oh, you did. Get out of here.
And the only one I could find hadn't had a response to anything in like 6 months. And so it wasn't like an active forum. And I was like, well, this isn't going to, I'm not going to post here. Yeah.
Shout out to BeSource.com.
Yeah. BeSource.
They know.
So then I Googled a list of the world's top shark experts, and I contacted, there were 10 of them.
I love that Rob's like, there are no hobbyists on the internet. I'm going to go to the top.
Yeah. There was a list of 10 of them, but one of them had died. And the other one I couldn't find, like, easy contact information for. So I sent Instagram DMs to the others.
Oh, my God. Why are you sliding in DMs, bro? What are you doing?
Now, Instagram is set up in a weird way that if you get a DM from somebody, it's like it comes in as a request. And I don't know if people see that shit or not.
They're not going to accept yours. I can tell you that right now.
It seems, and if they do, it also seems highly unlikely that they would take time out of whatever busy shit shark people do to answer this dumbass question. But if they do, I'll let you know.
Okay.
I imagine some dude in the scuba gear, like in the middle of an ocean surrounded by sharks, and his phone goes off and he opens it and it's Rob asking a dumb question.
So we will find out, because I had never heard that sharks were bothered by bubbles or anything of the such. And so it was completely random to me. And one of the funniest things I thought I had heard, and I was almost ready to get 100% on board with this when they decided that indeed they were going to fight the sharks with the bubbles. But then we only see it happen like once or maybe twice.
I wish we had seen more of it, because I think that objectively is a very funny plan. I talked about two of the things that I wanted to see more of. The other third thing that I really am just gutted that we did not see is we have the big like tough bodyguard man comes face to face with a shark. I was willing to put money down that he was gonna punch it right.
I thought so too.
I was so ready. I was like, we're gonna see this fucking badass get into a fist fight with a shark. And I was here for it 100%. And then he's like, no, I've got to get the baseball cap back to the old lady. And I was like, God damn it.
Yep. I thought he was too. And it reminded me of that Robert Schimmel comedy during his stand up when he talks about how his brother told him that if you come face to face with a shark, you're supposed to punch it in the nose.
Yeah.
And he says, yeah, and if that doesn't work, you can slip away in the cloud of blood.
and you know, come
that's
to think
seriously,
of it,
I, man.
Yeah, but it, so the sharks are in this movie presented as you mentioned, Kat, as like just blood hungry, like they're just eating people for no reason. Yeah. Except right at the end of the movie, when a shark swims into the plane, looks our lead character in the face, and then just turns.
Yeah, he's like, I'm full now.
What the fuck was that? I mean, I get it. That's probably more likely to happen than what actually happens. But at the same time, that's not what has been presented to us this entire fucking movie.
It's like a weird, they're not bloodthirsty enough to be really, really a present threat in the film, but they're also like, you know, they're aggressive enough that felt really not satisfying.
Yeah. Like, I mean, when they killed
if she had been, if we'd had a really cool bubble shot right there, I would have bought it.
I was here for the bubbles. I really was. But when they kill the rescue diver, it's like, I mean, this shark's acting like Michael Myers back there. Like, we see him and then the diver turns around and he's not there. And then he comes up from a different angle and shit, you know? So it's just, I thought it was a really weird choice that this shark just looks at her and they have it just turn away. And I was like, what, why? Like, I mean, I get it. It, you know, gives us what's supposed to be a tense moment. I don't give a shit about this girl, so I didn't care, but it just seemed odd to me.
I've been throwing a lot of shade at this movie. I do want to talk about a couple of small things that I liked. And they're all small details. But like I said, there were a few things in here that just kind of made me happy. This sounds like a complaint, this first one. But we have this really over-the-top, caring main character, right? She's like, I'm going to get the doll for the kid. And, you know, I'm going to be her new adoptive mother, like when the grandparents die. We get to see a lot of her being like overly calm and likable to a degree that we don't care about her. I love that her first reaction to the child is like, you ruined my shawl. Like, it's a random outburst. It felt very human to me. That was when I liked her the most, honestly, because that was when she was the most interesting. She felt like a human there. I thought it was kind of funny. I really liked the way that the fire effects look on that. We talked, it's a pretty good looking movie. Like, I don't have effect complaints for the most part.
No, yeah, I thought they looked pretty good.
But like, the fire shot with the plane, I thought was really cool as the engine is first starting to go out. Like, that was just in particular a very gorgeous shot. And I really liked I liked the flight attendant. He was my favorite character. He did this thing that was like, they had kind of a weird setup in this one where it was just like, oh, this guy's obviously gay. And then like at the end, I was waiting for the reveal, you know, that he was going to secretly not be gay. I was kind of hoping he was going to end up with the jackass friend a little bit, because that would have been fun for me.
I thought that's what was gonna happen,
but I did just like the ominous, like, yes, I'm with my partner, say something about it, bitch. Like, all right, love this energy.
Yeah, like, he was okay. I didn't mind that character, but also like, I felt like there wasn't enough of him.
I would have liked more of him.
Yeah, like, I was just, again, it wasn't a character that I was particularly attached to one way or another. I did at first. I thought that maybe he and the asshole friend were going to end up together because the asshole friend is being just a dick about him being gay.
Yeah.
And it turns out that guy's just a homophobic asshole.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what else to take away from this movie other than that.
And we kind of had an arc where, like, he learned not to be homophobic. But I think if the homophobia had been internalized and he had kissed that man, like, yeah, I would have felt better about it. It also would have made more sense why the flight attendant, like, goes back for him when he's having his panic attack. Yeah. But I like that once the shark shows up, the flight attendant's like, never mind, not worth dying over, and leaves. Like, that's great. And then, like, on a serious, I think the script is bad. But I think one moment that it does it really well is we have the friend telling like all of these asshole jokes. He's being kind of a dick the entire time. And then he makes, I don't even remember what the joke was, but he makes one joke about, oh, it's the like, it'll be easy for you to lose weight to the guy that has just lost the leg.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was actually, it was my favorite moment for the friend. It was my favorite moment for the boyfriend because like, they get kind of frustrated with the friend picking on him for losing the leg. And then that's the thing that gets him to laugh and like refocus and stuff. And it's like, that's a really good men having friendship moment.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked that too. I forgot about that, but I did kind of like that. Yeah.
I'm glad I wrote it down because I had also forgotten about it, but like there were few and far between, but there were moments that I thought were like good, you know, they were fun.
Yeah, I feel a little bad for shitting on it the way I did too, and I feel like my score will show a better depiction of how I enjoy this movie. It's just that they gave you more to look at negatively, man. They truly did. You know, like, what are we gonna do? Sit here and say the sharks look great and everything looked great? Yeah, everything looked great. It's just that's only gonna get you so far, though. Is the thing.
Yeah.
But are you guys? Is there anything else? Did you guys want to move into facts and trivia and whatnot?
I don't know if Rob is going to talk about this in trivia or not. I don't feel like it's trivia for anyone but me. Okay. I'm not sure anybody cares that much. One thing that I noticed that I liked in addition to the look of the movie was the soundtrack. And I ended up looking up who did the soundtrack for this and was pleasantly surprised to find that it was Brett Gurwitz and Bad Religion were listed as being involved in the soundtrack. And it's like, oh, that checks out.
All right. Yeah. No, I didn't. That didn't come up in trivia.
It was like, I really did like the soundtrack for this because it was well put together, but it wasn't like over the top distracting, except for the one scene where the rescuer catches up to them and they play the rescue music for like 2 minutes before he's eaten. That I think was a little bit distracting because we knew he was going to get eaten.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
They weren't fooling anybody.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought that was fun. And that's my last note.
All right. Yeah, I don't have anything else. Oh, well, one other thing real quick. Also kind of annoyed me that the final or our main character floats to the top. She's floating out there like a bobber in the fucking ocean. And then she finds the little girl's teddy bear and she gets it. And then she gets hoisted up to a fucking flying helicopter like Rambo. And she gets up there and she gives the teddy bear to the little girl. And then the girl just throws it back in the ocean like, bitch. Yeah. And I had to go through I found that. I brought it to you. Yeah. And also, you can't just be throwing shit in the ocean.
Above all else.
Yeah.
All right. You have reviews for this thing?
Yeah. So Rotten Tomato Meter, I don't know if this is just because it's new. I don't know if it's just because it's AMC Plus. There are critic reviews for this, but not enough to have it official on anything.
Wow.
This is the first movie, I think, since we've been doing the Rotten Tomatoes score, there is not an audience score for this one. Not enough people have watched it.
That's crazy.
Critics have watched it that it can have an unofficial critic score with 24 reviews, but it has no audience score whatsoever.
Okay. That's interesting. Because I feel like when this came out, I heard people talking about it. And then I just kind of forgot about it until you mentioned doing a shark movie.
Apparently people weren't talking about it on Rotten Tomatoes.
No, well, that's the other thing. Yeah, maybe they just don't go there. I don't know.
The unofficial critic score for this is 33%.
All right.
The IMDb score for this is 4.6 out of 10. A little bit better for it.
Yeah.
Okay. So I found it was really hard to do because there were not a lot of positive reviews that had been left for this movie. But I did find one star, one 10 star, and then the winner of the best title, which is a 7 out of 10, decent little Netflix thriller.
Okay.
All right.
For once, Netflix is starting to put out some decent movies, and count this as one of them. The story
was this
is
on
pretty...
Netflix.
Rob, you've hit the nail on the head. This is not a Netflix film.
Yeah.
You had to get an AMC Plus trial to rent.
I did.
This.
I had to burn a trial membership to watch this one.
I spent $5.
It's just not on Netflix.
Out of all the movies for me to buy, you know, damn.
But yeah, finishing out the first paragraph of this one, it goes on for a while. He has a strong defense for No Way Up, and it's Netflix debut. But the story is pretty simple. It's a disaster of a movie put out there like a horror movie, except disasters really can be scary. And what makes this work is that plane crashes really do happen.
You didn't need to see this movie to know that. I mean, but yeah, they do.
It's
happen.
What makes
That's
it work.
Imagine this motherfucker sitting on his couch watching this movie for $4.99, renting it like I did, going, "Holy shit, plane crashes are real! Look at this."
All right. So our 1 out of 10 also has a very good title. What's a shark doing on a plane? It's in quotation marks, so it's clearly an allusion to the best line of the film. I absolutely love thriller and horror movies, and this just wasn't it. The actors were amazing, but the storyline wasn't it. They could have made the movie so realistic, but they chose to make it where shark was after them. After watching this, I'm disappointed sharks don't do the thing that this movie made them out to do, and it's so unrealistic on so many levels. A lot of the scenes don't even make sense. I'm upset, and this is a waste of time, so don't even waste your money. Throughout the entire movie, in almost every scene, there were things that were so unnecessary and fake, especially at the end. Like, no wonder the governor's daughter survived. The movie is fully of nonsense and idiotic opinions, and don't waste your time or money.
That's fun.
Yeah, I thought that was fun. And here we have our only 10-star review of No Way Up. 10 out of 10. Brilliant.
Brilliant. All right.
All right. A little much.
No Way Up is a gripping cinematic masterpiece that keeps you on the edge of your seat from start to finish. With its compelling storyline, stellar performances, and breathtaking action sequences, this film delivers an adrenaline-pumping experience like no other. The director expertly crafts tension and suspense while the talented cast brings their characters to life with depth and authenticity. From the heart-pounding stunts to the intricate plot twists, No Way Up is a must-see for any lover of intense thrillers. With its impeccable production quality and unforgettable moments, this movie sets a new standard for action-packed entertainment.
Hey, it looks good. They're not wrong about that. The visuals
are good.
They're
not wrong
about that. It does. Yeah. Everything else they said was bullshit, though. This is like somebody's aunt or mom or somebody wrote that review.
Here's the thing is that I was going through and I was really hoping I had found one 9-star review that was like 8 paragraphs long and not funny. And mm-hmm. I was like, I was really, really hoping to find a 10. I was so pleased to find one. And then I was reading it and it's like, this has to be for the wrong movie, right? And then I felt like an asshole because it's like, I can't believe that anyone would give this a 10-star. But it just, this sounds like if you gave a generative AI the prompt, like,
oh yeah,
good movie review. Like, these are all such generic things. Like, it doesn't list any unforgettable moments. It just says it has them.
Yeah, which it doesn't.
It keeps saying it's like no other.
Which it's not.
It doesn't refer to the director or any of the cast by name, you know? Like, it's just, it feels really generic. But it does say No Way Up twice in the review, so I, you know, even if they didn't write this themselves, it was written about this movie. I guess
all right,
but yeah, those are reviews.
All right, facts about No Way Up, which I keep wanting to call No Way Out for some reason. So I found two numbers when it comes to the budget of this movie. The first number that I found was $2 million, which feels maybe about right.
Yeah.
Okay.
The second number I came across was $15 million. which doesn't seem right.
I also came across 15 million a lot in the reviews. A lot of the negative reviews were like, this doesn't look like it cost $15 million.
Yeah, I mean, it looks good. But anyway, those are the two numbers I came across. So I don't know, 2 million, 15 million, I'm not sure. I can tell you that the worldwide box office was 4.4 million. So if they spent 15, they did not do well on this movie.
No.
As far as some facts about the movie, there's only one that's sort of fairly interesting, and that is that originally this was planned to star Kelsey Grammer.
That would have been amazing.
Yeah.
Was he the governor's daughter?
I have no idea. He was going to be in this movie. The film was introduced at the American Film Market in 2021, and it was mentioned that he was going to star in it. He obviously that didn't happen and it fell through, but I guess he could have played like the tough guy. I don't know.
That also would have been pretty great.
Yeah. I just don't know. Now he was on a show, where he played like the corrupt mayor of Chicago. Where he played kind of like a tough guy, and he was really good at it. It was a really good show.
I just have kind of a tough time seeing him play that small a role in this.
Yeah,
movie.
That's the only thing, right? I don't know who else he would have played. I mean, like
well,
you
that's
said,
why, like
he's not going to play
the governor's daughter.
Yeah, he's not going to play the governor's daughter's boyfriend. That'd be fucking weird. So yeah, I don't know. But apparently he was originally set to star in it. But that's all we've got for trivia on this thing.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, I've pretty much expected that. All right. Portnoy's. Oy vey.
I have no idea what you guys are going to score this movie.
Yeah.
I don't know whether my score is high or low or anything else compared to what you guys are about to say. So this should be interesting.
I have like a full 1 point range that I'm trying to like hone in on at the moment. So
I'm pretty locked in on mine.
Okay.
I just don't know where it is going to fall in relation to everybody else. I feel like typically when we do Portnoy's, I have the lowest score, but I'm not sure that's going to be the case this time.
I feel like it is.
All right.
Okay.
All right. No way up. Look, we pointed out a lot of bad things about this movie, but yeah. It looked phenomenal. And honestly, maybe it's from doing this fucking show that so many times I want a shark movie to look good. I want a shark that looks good. I want it to function well. I want everything around it to be as believable as possible visually. We got that here in a big way. Like we did. I wish there was more shark. I wish they were utilized better. Like that all is true. But man, this thing looked great. But there were a lot of things in here that couldn't really keep me engaged. And that's a big problem. In a movie about a killer shark. Like we're not talking about what was that movie Open Water where it was like super realistic. And it's yeah. Like, okay, I can see how that gets boring. Like because a shark attack in real life isn't the most exciting thing in the world. Sure. Like I can't remember. I think I was watching this in Discord and I think somebody joined and they were talking about a shark attack that happened. They were like, yeah, pretty much, you seen this person and then they went underwater and you just seen a bunch of red. That's what a shark attack looks like. You know, like if someone's going to get chewed, they're going to get eaten and it's going to be over and sharks are going to swim away. So this had a little bit more fun than that, but really didn't engage with the viewer very well in my experience with it. But the visuals were incredible. And I got to give this, I'm going to give it a rookie number. I'm going to give it a flat out 5.
Okay.
5. The visuals go a long way, man. Because that shit's not hard. That's not easy to do. It's really not. And, you know, they did a great job on, like a phenomenal job on that app. So I'm going to give it a flat 5.
All right.
I've locked in, Rob. I don't know if you want me to go next or last.
Because I don't know who an outlier is possibly going to be, I don't think it matters, but I kind of want you to go first.
Okay. I have a prediction that you are going to be the outlier just based off of Mikey's score because we're really close. I will tell you that the full range for me was somewhere between like a 5 to 6. I've locked in on the lower end at a 5.2. I feel like it's better than average, which is what gave me the 5-6 score. And I was prepared to be a little bit generous, but honestly, and this is terrible to say, I'm like looking back through my Portnoy's, I can't give it higher than Shark Knight 3D because that had a shark cam. So,
yeah. And an awesome rap song at the end.
So this looked really good. I do think it's a little bit better than an average movie just based off of looks. And, you know, I mean, it's got a shark. I'm not going to be sad that I watched a shark movie today, but it's just not the best that we've seen. And it's not that so bad. It's entertaining. So I landed at a 5.2.
All right.
I almost gave it a 5.2, Kat. I was right there at a 5.2, but the story and lack thereof, as far as, you know, the actor and emotion, it just, I couldn't.
Yeah.
It's lucky I got a 5.
I was prepared to be nicer, but yeah. Also, somehow it is kind of lucky.
Yeah, it is.
All right.
All right, Rob.
So Mikey said, first of all, that he wants movies where sharks look good and stuff. And that's all bullshit because we showed him Santa Jaws and he did nothing but bitch about it the whole time.
He didn't even care.
That movie looks amazing.
You know, just lie.
But moving on to No Way Up, it looks incredible. We really don't get shark movies that look this good very often. And that does go a long way. But it's not enough to make a good movie, right? Like,
right.
Something can look incredible, but if the story you're telling me isn't engaging and the characters aren't interesting, then really you've just, you know, you've painted me a pretty picture and pretty much nothing else. And there were several times throughout this movie that I like I said, had to back it up because I grabbed my phone and started scrolling through stuff. Or trying to find an Instagram contact for one of the world's foremost shark experts to ask him about bubbles. This movie is just below average for me. It doesn't quite meet that mark. It's fine, I guess. It's okay. But it's not good. So anyway, I'm not far from you guys. I gave it a 4.7.
Okay. I thought you'd be lower. This is a really tight spread for us.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually somebody has a crazy score out there somewhere, but no. And that feels about right. Like when I thought about it, I was like, it did look good. Like I wasn't mad that I watched it, but at the same time, I'm never going to watch it again.
I see a world where I watch this again. I'm not going to lie.
I'm never going to watch this thing again. And I was just like that. It doesn't quite meet the standard of 5, like an average movie for me. It's just slightly below that. So I landed at a 4.7.
All right.
That's fair. All right. The average of this was a 5. So I'd like to say my score was correct.
Well, nice.
Yeah. Right on a 5.
Yeah. First time your score's ever been correct.
You son of a bitch. All right. That was, you know, I'm glad I watched it though, you know, I'm glad I watched it.
And are you happier with this than you would have been? I had a whole bunch of dumb shark movies lined up before you were nice about doing a shark movie. I was really leaning toward Virus Shark.
Oh, I haven't even heard about that one. Is Bathtub Shark out yet?
I don't know if it's out yet. I'm waiting for the day that we can do Graveyard Shark on this show because Rob is going to love it.
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah, that sounds awesome.
I don't want to do Graveyard Shark.
Yeah, you do.
It'll be great. We need to get to Ouija Shark, too.
But, Mike, was this better than Virus Shark? Are you probably happy to... All right.
Yeah, I'd imagine so, probably. All right, guys.
I also missed the like book plug. We could have done Puppet Shark this week. We've never talked about Puppet Shark on this show.
Should have picked it. When it comes to picking a shark movie, I don't know. I'm not qualified. So I just kind of let you guys handle it. You tell me what to watch, I watch it. That's how that goes around here. All right. Patreon.com/SlasherRadio tier starting as low as $3 a month. There is a 1 week free trial, so you guys need to go take advantage of that. You get a 1 week free trial to all the whole Patreon catalog. So it's free to look And go do so at patreon.com/radio. Support the show. Damn it. The more you support, the more we can do. Follow us on Twitter @radio. And you can also follow me at Mikey's Dead if you would like to do so. YouTube and TikTok also @radio. Go give us a sub there, especially on TikTok. It is, you know, it's very hard. Like at this point in the show, it's very hard for like to start on a new platform for me and mm-hmm. see nothing. Right. Like it's so discouraging. It's so difficult.
This one's TikTok.
Yeah.
You've got Mikey out here degrading himself for your ease. The yeah, least you can do is follow us.
Right. Like it's already like a part of me died a little bit that I had to do TikTok at all. So yeah, the least you could do is go follow the damn thing and maybe throw a like or whatever. And it is so hard because, you know, the Twitter's pretty established. The YouTube is doing well and all that stuff. So to see very little interaction, very little anything is so I haven't experienced that in such a long time.
I think if you want to get our engagement and our numbers up on TikTok, Mikey, you're going to have to eat a Tide Pod.
Fine.
Don't do that.
Whatever.
Well, hang on. No.
I'll just do it. Even that probably wouldn't, like, that phase is over with. Like, people are like, oh, another person eating a Tide Pod and he's old. Great. Now, they got to take everything from us. These old bastards turn 35 next week, man. Leave me alone.
Yeah. Fucking a bunch TikTok of comments like, get out of here, boomer.
Yeah. Leave the Tide Pods to us. Like, all right, buddy. You got that. And you can also listen to the show that I do, A Little Missy Sloppiness.
Yeah, shut up. No, you can't.
Yeah,
you can listen to that show.
You can eventually, sooner or later, I swear to God. I said, and I mean it, I'm not going to give Chris another opportunity. This might be a good spot to mention that the Patreon pick is going to be pushed back a little bit. You guys know we never go without paying up on those, so like don't worry about it. I know they know we make good on those. I think last year we even did like an extra one somehow or something, like the math didn't add up or some shit like that. I don't know, but we always make good. We do have a lot of stuff lined up. I'm looking at a calendar right now. Next week is my birthday pick.
Oh yeah, do you want to announce what that is now or
no?
Okay,
and I say that because
you don't know.
Yeah, I haven't decided yet. I'm up in the air. Dude, honestly, I didn't realize my birthday was next week. Like, nice. I'm not gonna lie. This nice. Month is flying. Like June did too. This summer is like didn't even happen. Like it's almost over already. It's crazy. But yeah, I'm up in the air on a couple of movies. I'll announce it on Twitter.
Okay.
After we record it.
You know, we kind of have fun with the birthday pick reveals on the show. I mean, you don't have to announce it beforehand if you don't want to.
Yeah, son of a bitch. Like, that is kind of... Dude, honestly, I didn't realize my birthday was next week. I'm not going to lie to anybody. But I have been thinking about it for a while now. I think even in Discord one night, I was like, oh, shit, my birthday pick's coming up. But you know what? I'll announce it on Twitter, and I'll tag you guys in it. So, like, they'll see the reaction one way or another. So that's next week. And then Rob is going to be out on assignment. So Rob is not going to be as busy the week after that. And then the week after that, we're doing Rob's birthday pick. Okay. And then we're going to have Tim Davies from what show is he on again, Rob?
Tim Davis.
Tim Davis, my bad.
Yeah. And he is a host of they changed the name of the show. And then I never want to get it wrong.
It was Dummies of Horror or something.
Dummies
like
of
that,
Horror. Right? That's the name of the show. Yes. Yeah, it had a different name and they ran into some legal issues.
At all the things.
Yeah, I don't know how much Tim wants to get into that, but he's going to be on the show.
I'm going to grill him about that aggressively the second he comes on. Yes. Listen.
Can we have a horror court about their legal issues? Like, most appropriate use, right?
I brought in Larry Zerner to ask you questions about this.
Now, since I'm going to be out the third because I'm going on a fishing trip, I will announce my birthday pick next week when we do your birthday pick. So at the end of the show next week, I'll announce mine. Now, it won't be for that episode, for the next episode, but the next one I'll be on.
Okay. Yeah. And
then
we have
very confusing. I'm not going to remember any of this. I've told you guys this already. You have to remember this because I am going to ask no doubt 5 or 6 times, what are we doing?
Yeah. And also, after that lineup we just gave, it'll probably be back-to-back Patreon picks. So you know, you guys will get it in. Don't worry about it. I might put out like a schedule on Twitter because it is a little confusing. We do have a lot of things going on. Mm-hmm. But either way, one way or another.
What really pushed the birthday or the Patreon picks off is the two birthday picks and then me being gone in between them. That doesn't help.
Yeah. And we've been trying to get Tim on for a while. So we're just juggling a bunch of stuff. And we talked about it on before we started recording. It'll be on the Easter egg stuff that goes up on Patreon. I feel like the patrons like having the back to backs.
It gives them a very unique form of torment for us because sometimes very often they don't do it, but very often they have the chance to do something really cruel to one of us.
And they really dropped the ball the last time when we could have had Wolf Cop and another Wolf Cop back to back and they fucking didn't do it.
But they tried though. God damn them. They tried. God. So God help us, man. If we don't have that Ring episode out, we're going to be watching Ring 3 and 4. Or 2 and 3, whatever Chris is doing, damn it. That's it for me. Rob, what about you?
You can find me on Twitter at RadioRob123. You can listen to the other show that I do with Kat, the Nick fucking Woo Cagecast. That's Nick effing Woo Cagecast in your podcast players. We just released our episode on Next, and actually by the time this is out, we should have our episode out on National Treasure Book of Secrets. Is that what it's called?
Book of Secrets.
Yeah. So check us out over there, and I will let everyone know if I get a response from any of the eight top shark experts in the world as to whether or not sharks are afraid of bubbles.
Sent a message to eight of them, man. You slid into eight DMs.
I mean, what are the chances that if I try just one, I mean, they're not going to answer. But if I try eight, maybe somebody, you know what I mean? It's a numbers game, Mikey.
I think you should have sent them a dick pic. Like, that's what you're supposed to do when you slide DMs, I think, Rob.
I don't think they would have answered that with sharks are afraid of bubbles. Although
that'll be the reward for whoever answers.
If any of them had answered with just gifts of bubbles, we would have had a strong clue. Like, if that's the go-to defense mechanism for a shark expert.
It's pretty funny. That's the reward. You're a reward, man. Oh, wait. Hold on. The...
Got my mouth.
All right. Kat, what about you?
You can find me on Twitter at @Kat_Valeur, V-O-L-E-U-R. You can check out my website, katvaleur.com. You can go to Encyclopocalypse Publications and get the special edition cover of Puppet Shark, if you would like. I wrote that novelization, and it is belated Shark Week, so.
Yeah, happy belated Shark Week. Never thought I'd say that.
Happy belated Shark Week to everybody.
Things this show does to me, man, is incredible. All right, guys, my birthday pick next week. Get ready. It's going to be a good one. Good night from Slasher Radio.
All the best with Slasher Radio Podcast.